This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Hello, all of you. And this is Memorial Day weekend, May 26, 2012. And the living is easy. And of course, that was a bit of Gershwin's Summertime.
It's not exactly summer yet, but Memorial Day is approaching it, isn't it?
I think it is summer, Dan. I think it's ahead of schedule by a month because of global warming. So that's why we thought we would play it. And wanted to say that Porgy and Bess is now on Broadway, by the way. We were lucky enough to catch that. And is up for a bunch of Tonys.
I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin. Free Thought Radio is broadcast here in Madison and in other stations around the country, and also podcast around the world.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and if you are a regular listener to this show, you know we have two purposes. We are a membership organization serving non-theists, atheists, agnostics, skeptics, secularists, whatever you like to call yourselves. And we work very diligently to get religion out of government, to support the constitutional wall of separation between church and state. We're based here in Madison, Wisconsin. We have 18,000 members, and we hope 18,001 or 2 or 3, if those of you listening will sign up at FFRF.org.
We started today's show with Carmen McRae singing the song Summertime, as Annie Laurie said, written by George and Ira Gershwin, who, as you probably know from listening to this show, George and Ira were brothers. They were both freethinkers from a non-believing Jewish family. And on today's show, since it is summertime and more relaxed, we're going to just listen to some more free thought music. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk with Teresa McBain, a Methodist minister who just left the pulpit and announced her atheism. Teresa is now the acting director of the Clergy Project, which is helping many other disbelieving ministers and priests who want to leave the pulpit.
And of course, you and Dawkins and Daniel Dennett started the Clergy Project, Dan.
That's right, and Linda LaScola.
And Teresa made a lot of headlines when she just left the church this March, was on CNN. But before we get to that interview, we're looking forward to talking with her about what it's been like. We will relax a little bit because the living is easy this weekend, and we'll bring you some free thought music, and we have a variety. I guess we call them, some of them traditional, some of them pop, some of them free thought folk singers, and we have had Shelley Siegel. We've played some of her tunes on this show before. She's the young, very talented Australian songstress, and we played I Don't Believe in Fairies and Saved. And what do we have now from her new album? You were at her Atheist album there in Melbourne, Australia, when we were there.
She had a release party in April, and that was really fun to be a part of it. The album is called An Atheist Album, and she sang this song that we're going to hear at that release party, and it's a song on the Atheist album, and it's called Four Hitchens, but the title of the song is Apocalyptic Love Song.
One day the sun is going to die. For us it means no more sunsets to the universe, just one less star in the sky. And almost all who ever lived have already died. Countless stories of love and war and hope and pain now silent play side by side.
And that's Shelley Siegel playing the song that she wrote, Apocalyptic Love Song, which she dedicated to Christopher Hitchens. You can find more music by Shelley at her webpage, ShelleySiegel.com. Her name is spelled with that extra E, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. And her album that's from is called An Atheist Album. Now, a few weeks ago, you heard us play a hilarious song by Roy Zimmerman. We were talking about the gay marriage thing. The song we played was Ted Haggard is Completely Heterosexual, and that was really funny. Well, here's another song from Roy. He's a satirical guitarist, songwriter, singer. This is from his album called Faulty Intelligence. The song is called Creation Science 101, and Roy is playing the part in this song of a young earth creationist who's teaching in the science classroom.
God made the world in 7 days. Well, that's 1 week to be specific. Now that's what I call scientific. Say hallelujah, sing his praise. 4042 BC. On Monday, August 27, he made the earth and sky and heaven. Then he punched out at 503. Then he made Adam and then Eve. Garden for them to inhabit. The apple right where Eve could grab it. And I got proof cause I believe Creation Science 101. In the beginning it begun. And you are just beginning to educate yourself when you shun evolution. Then Cain and Abel he begat, and they begat all of the rest to us, which means they must have been incestuous. I'm gonna have to pray about that. There might be sinners in this class who might believe in Charles Darwin. I guess that's just their loss in our win.
because I'm gonna flunk their ass if you make Genesis your text. You will laugh at Darwin and what he sees to be the origin of species, because he's just plain oversexed. Creation science 101. You ain't no monkey's great-grandson. You got a research paper due about 50 reasons to shun evolution. Don't let them hand you that old jive about survival of the fittest. That notion don't pass the bullshit test. 'Cause look at me, I'm still alive. God made the world just like it is. He made the fossils just to tease us. Old bones to test our faith in Jesus. Yeah, this'll all be on the quiz. Creation science 101. Now arm again, your homework done. Because when this semester's through, it's straight A's for students who shun evolution. The kids get such an education when they shun the heretical theory of the development of life on Earth over millions of years by means of spontaneous genetic mutation.
Now, unfortunately, that's not as much of a spoof as it would seem. You can find more irreverent music from Roy Zimmerman at his webpage, royzimmerman.com. And coming up, our favorite freethought poet, Philip Appleman, his parody of trees, which is called Fleas, and using the classical music, the classic music that Trees was set to music, Oscar Rosbach. And this is performed, the music and piano, by Dan Barker. Coming up, Fleas.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I think that I shall never see a poem as ugly as a flea. A flea whose hungry mouth is pressed against a buttock or a breast. A flea that spreads disease all day and lifts its little claws to prey. Poems are made by you and me, but only God can make a flea. I think that no one ever made a poem as powerful as AIDS, or plagues that may in summer kill half the bishops in Brazil, and share the good Lord's final answer with clots and cholera and cancer. For God concocted pox to mock us, staph and syph and streptococcus. Poems are made by bards or hacks, but only God makes cardiacs. I think that I shall never smell a poem as pungent as a hell, where grinning devils turn the screws on saintly Sikhs and upright Jews, giving them the holy scorcher, timeless transcendental torture. Poems can make you want to yell, but only God can give you hell.
Poems can make you want to yell, but only God can give you hell. That's the Philip Appleman song, Fleas. You can find that song on the FFRF CD, Beware of Dogma, which you can buy online at ffrf.org/shop. And you can also read more of Phil Appleman's poetry on Free Thought Today's monthly Heads Up page.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. Stay tuned for some more fun Free Thought music, and then we'll converse with a woman pastor who has become an atheist and just left the ministry. Very dramatic story.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, and I'm a freethinker from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Kristen Lems is a feminist free thought songwriter and performer, and we've had her on our show before to do some of her music. She and I worked together when FFRF produced our very first musical cassette. They were cassettes back then, back in the 1980s. And we're going to hear a song from that album. It's called This World, and it was written by Malvina Reynolds, performed by Kristen Lems. And who was Malvina Reynolds, Annie Laurie?
She was the one who wrote Little Boxes on the Hillside, and they all look like ticky-tacky. She was from San Francisco, very well-known folk singer. And she happened to come to Madison, Wisconsin, at the height of our huge recall effort in 1977. There's another recall effort going on here, but did you know the first one was over a county judge who said, a religious county judge who said rape was a normal reaction. And she heard about that and wrote a song called The Judge Said. But this is This World, and this is Kristen Lems, the topical feminist singer.
And who's playing the piano?
And yours playing the piano. Kristen is from Illinois, and we'll hear This World.
It's just I hate to say goodbye to this world, this world, this world. This old world, it's a mean and cruel, but still I love it like a fool. This world, this world, this world. I'd rather go to the corner and sing Hosanna on that golden shore. I'd rather live on Parker Street than fly around where the angels meet. This old world, it's all I know. It's dust to dust when I have to go from this world, this world, this world. Thank you.
some other hands, some other face, some other eyes will look around and find the things I've never found. Don't weep for me when I am gone. Just keep this old world rolling on. This world, this world, this world.
And that's Kristen Lem singing the Malvina Reynolds song, This World. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. We're going to talk with a minister who just left the pulpit and is now an atheist, Teresa McBain, who is now the acting director of the Clergy Project.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Teresa McBain was a Methodist minister up until just recently when she announced to the world that she is now an atheist.
But not anymore. You may have caught Teresa interviewed on CNN's Faces of Faith program Sunday, May 5th. Before we get Teresa on the phone, let's listen to a bit of that interview conducted by Randy Kaye.
It is hard keeping a secret from the people you love. It's even harder living a double life. That's exactly what Teresa McBain was doing. She was raised in a conservative Southern Baptist family, and her dad was a pastor. By the age of six, she felt the call to serve in the church and later became a Methodist pastor herself. Teresa McBain is now an atheist, and she's sharing the secret that she kept for years with us today on Faces of Faith. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us. Was there one experience that made you lose your faith and turn to atheism?
No, there isn't one single experience. Anytime a person struggles or deals with questions, it takes a long process of time. Initially, I just questioned things that I saw within the Bible itself as I studied that didn't seem to work together, that seemed to contradict itself or didn't make sense.
Do you think people are scared to come out and say, I don't believe in God?
Oh, yes. I think it's a very scary thing because of these preconceived ideas that atheists are immoral or that a belief in God is necessary to live an ethical and honest life.
And you're, of course, no longer an official pastor, but you do still minister to people. What do you tell them?
I do. I'm no longer a pastor. But the initial thing that brought me into the ministry was a desire to support and to help people in their struggles. And that hasn't changed.
So for people who identify with you and haven't come out about it and they're watching this and they say, wait, that's me, what can they do?
Well, if they're a clergy person, I just encourage them to seek out the Clergy Project, which is clergyproject.org. They'll find a very loving and supportive community there that will help them through this process.
Teresa McBain, thank you so much for your time on this Sunday morning. Very nice to chat with you.
Oh, thank you.
So we have Teresa McBain on the phone from Florida with us. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Teresa.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be with you guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you again. You were great on that. Was that your first time on national TV?
It was, actually.
Well, you didn't look scared. You looked calm and measured and sensible.
That's good because I was terrified.
Now, I should point out that I know you as Lynn because you joined the Clergy Project more than a year ago using a pseudonym because you were a practicing minister. And it's hard for me now to switch over and call you by your real name, Teresa. But so tell us a little bit about that. You know, how you were raised and how you preached and then why you lost your faith.
I was raised in a fundamental Baptist home. I was one of those kids that was a preacher's kid. Normally, a preacher's kid in two ways. The typical way most people think of is they become the wild preacher's child, preacher's daughter, or they become just a mirror image of the parent, and that's exactly what happened to me. I grew up knowing at 6 years old that I wanted to be in ministry, and going along that thought process all the way up until I actually became a pastor. Many years were not spent in pastoral ministry because as a Baptist that women were not given that opportunity. So I immersed myself in music or Christian education or you know, whatever other activity I could find. But eventually I met a young lady in the Methodist Church and went through the process. I mean, this is a very short version of the story, and became a Methodist pastor.
Because the Methodist could allow women to be preachers, but Southern Baptists these days, that's a different story.
Oh, yeah, that's a very different story. And a lot of what led me to the place where I am today, I think, was the struggle of feeling called to be in ministry, but not being allowed to as a woman. I think that was really the first seeds of my questioning, was trying to make sense of these scriptures in the Bible, some that seemed to be in favor of women serving, and many others that were against it. And those were the first contradictions that I saw in the scriptures that started my mind rolling around, wondering, well, if these things contradict, what else contradicts?
You know, Annie Laurie wrote a book about the Bible's treatment of women, mm-hmm. where, was it Paul Annie Laurie who said women should keep silent in the church?
Yes. Well, it's all over the New Testament, and how did you reconcile that with becoming a minister?
Well, I ignored several passages as one way. It's called proof texting, cherry picking. And I think I convinced myself that Paul did say that. And then Paul said that a woman, when she prays or prophesies in church, should have her head covered, you know, a cultural piece that occurred in the early first century. So in my mind, I just thought, well, God has called me. I feel this call of God to serve in ministry. And these two verses can't even agree, so I'll just pick the one that I like better.
By the way, do you know why Paul said that? I'm sure you do as a minister. Women should have their heads covered because of the angels, it says. And you know, it goes back to the Nephilim, that the sons of God were looking down at women. They were sexually seduced by women, and then they produced this race of giants. So Paul said, the reason women should have their heads covered in church is because when you're in church, the angels can look down and they're going to be seduced. They're going to be sexually tempted by you female temptresses. You know, what a weird theology in the New Testament.
I know, and I'm sure that most people, I mean, I've never preached that from the pulpit. I would probably have been fired a long time ago for that.
Well, when CNN's Randy Kaye said you had the secret for many years, when did you start to have your doubts, and how long were you an atheist in the pulpit?
I don't think I was an atheist in the pulpit from the time that I realized it and said the word, probably 5 or 6 months. When I talked to Dan last year and became a member of the Clergy Project and considered myself an agnostic at that point. But the funny thing is some little part of my mind still thought that I could work through everything. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, but looking back now, kind of the hindsight is 20/20, I realize I had actually been an atheist for much longer than that, maybe even the last couple of years.
Well, I don't think we've explained what the Clergy Project is. Dan, would you want to say something about that?
Well, yes. You know, for many years, I've been in contact with other former clergy, like myself, because I preached for 19 years, who have left the ministry. Many of them are active members of the Freedom from Religion Foundation. We have this little club of about 20 or 30 of us. But then Daniel Dennett and his colleague Linda LaScola did a study in 2010 about preachers who are not believers. And some of those subjects came from my list of friends and from people like you, Teresa, and Jerry, and Adam, and others who were active ministers in the pulpit. They either read my book, Godless, or they read one of Daniel Dennett's books, and they said, you know, me too, I'm secretly in the pulpit too, and I don't know if I believe anymore. So Richard Dawkins has always been talking about, let's try to help these clergy, like you and I were. It took me 4 or 5 months of hypocrisy. And so Richard Dawkins put up the money to create this secret, private, online forum for former and active clergy who are not believers. We started, Lynn, I want to call you Lynn. Teresa, you were one of the founding members back in March of 2011. And then now there's about 230, if I remember right, and about 60 of them are active clergy in the Clergy Project, which is a safe online community to help people like you and I who need a place to come, you know, like a real sanctuary, a real community of real natural brothers and sisters, not in the Lord, but struggling with these very difficult questions of what do you do when your faith changes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's, for me personally, have invested in still being a member of it. It is a lifesaver. I don't know where I would have been today without the Clergy Project.
Well, and we share resources, and it's very non-judgmental. If there are any clergy listening to this show, you don't have to fear. In fact, everybody uses a pseudonym.
Clergy who have lost their faith.
of course. And we carefully screen who gets in so that if you do come into the Clergy Project, it's safe, it's friendly, it's non-judgmental. We're not trying to convert anybody, but if you already have abandoned your faith and you want a safe community with people like Teresa and Jerry DeWitt and Adam and Craig in North Carolina and more than 200 others, you can find us at theclergyproject.org. So we have to take a break here, but stay on the phone, Teresa. We want to talk some more about the exact reasons why you left your faith and then about an upcoming appearance of you. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, my name is Meredith Joyce. I am from Nazareth, Pennsylvania, and most of my friends would call me a raging atheist, and I couldn't be prouder of that title.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we are continuing our conversation with Teresa McBain, who's one of the newest graduates of the Clergy Project, which is an organization to help people who have lost their faith in the pulpit. And Teresa McBain has just come out of the pulpit and the closet, I guess. And Teresa, you started to say why, what drove you out, what precipitated your loss of faith in religion?
Well, I had talked about the contradictions in the Bible. There were a couple other things, and they all fell like dominoes once I actually started giving myself permission to question and to look into those questions. The contradictions led to the thought of just the universe and realizing how diverse it is, and that God created all these things, so why would he allow himself or herself to be limited to one path? So I think I moved into kind of a universalist thought process. Tied right in along with that were the thoughts of hell. If this God loves us and he created us, knowing that we were frail, weak human beings that just kind of rambled around through life trying to do the best we could, why would he torture us for missing the way for an eternity? So hell fell away pretty quickly. And then I started reading different books outside the Christian realm, like Bart Ehrman, like Dan Barker, Richard Dawkins, and others, and was introduced to the other stories, mythological stories, of Christ figures or Savior figures that date all the way back to the Babylonians and the Sumerian culture, which that really kind of rocked my world, so to speak.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
You made a very public coming out. Did you want to say something else, Annie Laurie, about
that? No, I just, I think that I wanted to get to this story about what happened. Did you actually tell, you didn't say something from the pulpit at a sermon, or how did you tell your congregation that you no longer believed?
I wasn't allowed to speak to them. The story is kind of confused a little bit. I'm glad I got to share on NPR for a long segment. Last year, when I was struggling with everything that was going on within my life, in my faith and in my, you know, trying to decide, do I believe, don't I believe, I had actually requested a leave of absence, which they would have granted. However, after the leave, I wouldn't be guaranteed an assignment. And during the leave, I would receive no pay. Well, I don't know anybody who can take a leave of absence not knowing they won't have a job or any money during the time, so I kind of stuck it out. As time passed and I dealt with the the understanding that I'd become an atheist and just continued to struggle with that. I actually worked a second job for about 4 months, a temporary job, to pay off some bills and get our family set so that I could walk away. And in March, the opportunity came for me to do so at the American Atheist Convention. It was public. It was, I don't want to say it was a desperate moment, but I was desperate to be out. I can say that for certain. But it was also a great opportunity to share about the Clergy Project and to really share and put a face on every pastor out there who's struggling with these very same issues and to let them know that they're not alone.
So then when the news broke about your coming out like that, were you actually locked out of your church?
Yeah, I was locked out of the church. I had communicated with the leadership, which was not made public. I had prepared a letter that, you know, as I said, they wouldn't let me speak to the congregation or any of the members. So I prepared a letter that no one ever read besides the leadership. And yeah, they locked the doors. They changed the locks and would not let me come to the church. My husband had to be escorted to gather my belongings that were in my office.
And that hit the news in Tallahassee, didn't it? It was on the evening news there.
Yeah, for several weeks, actually, they kept finding another little piece to add on to it or tack on to it to try to build it, to build a good story out of it.
Well, I would like to read that letter. Now, people will probably get a chance to hear that or some variation of it because, Teresa, you have agreed to speak at the 35th Annual National Convention of the Freedom from Religion Foundation, and we'll have, well, Dan will say a few things about the Clergy Project, and you'll be there, and the first graduate of the Clergy Project, mm-hmm. Jerry DeWitt, who was a former Pentecostal.
From Louisiana.
So that should be very fascinating to have you all there in October. That's the weekend of October 12th and 13th, and we have registration up already at ffrf.org. Go to outreach conventions or something like that, and you'll find us.
It'll be in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, in Portland, which is a great secular spot to have our conference. Dawkins will be there. Sarah Paretsky, Catherine Stewart, who we had on the show before, and we'll have this Clergy Project segment.
So, Teresa,
I hope that you'll tell us something more about that letter there.
Your husband is a police officer, I understand, and he's a believer, but he's very supportive of you.
Yes, he is. I knew he was a wonderful man before all this happened, but now, I mean, if he wanted to ensure that we would stay together, he has been the most supportive, most compassionate, loving person, and actually has defended me against several people that have tried to talk trash about me and say things. And he just, he's a big, intimidating kind of guy anyway, but yeah, he's a great guy.
What about your other family?
My sons are very supportive. One son is somewhat religious, and the other son, through this process, told me, he said, Mom, I was an agnostic for quite some time, and I just didn't know how to tell you because you're the pastor. And he's actually working in Texas now with the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers.
Wow, okay. So you're both activists now.
Yeah, I guess he's following in Mom's footsteps.
And are your parents still alive? Are they the ones that you wanted to emulate in the first place?
Yeah, my mom passed 23 years ago from cancer, but my dad is still alive, and I did have a very emotional conversation with him, and he does not understand. He prays for me and worries about me, but he shocked me in saying that no matter whatever happened, I would still be his daughter.
So you have a loving family. That's very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. There's some extended members who have said I'm not welcome in their home anymore or around their kids, but as far as the very nuclear part of my family, they're supporting me.
You mentioned a very important issue on this topic, clergy who are in the pulpit who don't believe anymore. Financial, career, how do you get an exit strategy? You're an educated person with a degree in, I think, Christian education from a Baptist college, right? So
yeah.
How are you going to use that on a job resume as a recently dismissed pastor to find work? You're looking for work then now, right?
Yeah, I am looking for work. And I have to be honest, the degree from a Baptist college in Christian education and a degree in divinity from a Christian institution, those don't translate very well in the secular market.
Although your experience running something, I think, would count for a lot.
Yeah, you would think so. I've had a conversation with a couple of people that I met, have sent me emails because of the media publicity, and they're helping me to sanitize my resume, so to speak, so that they can pull the skill sets out that apply and take away all the church language.
Now, I noticed that the Methodist Church, you know, you gravitated to something that was more liberal, of course, than the Southern Baptist, but they just had a vote against marriage equality.
Yeah, they did.
And I thought that was pretty reprehensible.
Well, the in Colorado and in some other more liberal, like religiously liberal states, the Methodist Church follows suit. But here in the South, I have to say the Methodist Church is very conservative, not far right into the fundamentalist type of conservatism, but more so than you would think. And I really hoped that they would vote and allow the equality and rights for gays and lesbians, but they didn't.
Thank you, Teresa. We're out of time now. You do have some time to our advantage to be the acting director of the Clergy Project. It's very nice of you to volunteer that. You can find out more at clergyproject.org. Find out more about FFRF and the Freethought Radio at ffrf.org/radio. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing the show.
And we have an issue, the May issue is still available with an article about the Clergy Project, a Freethought Today. You can go to ffrf.org and request a sample copy. You can join us and get 10 a year. You can also call 1-800-335-4021 to support our 501c3 educational charity, working to keep religion out of government. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope some